So I'm continuing with the verse. Letter to Satsarup Das, 16th June, 1972. Your first job is to make sure that every one of the devotees in your zone of management is reading regularly our literature and discussing that subject matter seriously from different angles of seeing, and if they are somehow or another absorbing the knowledge of Krishna consciousness philosophy.
Right.
We have to remember that the preaching aspect, that there's three parts to it. So there is the form or the external that we see. That is whatever different kinds of arrangements we're making that people come in contact with devotional service. Somehow or another become inspired to be part of devotional service. We see that in Lord Chaitanya had three reasons of coming. So the first is this external form, right? Which, you know, some will take, unscrupulous people take, external meaning it's not important. External is important. It's just not as important as internal. Right? But you can't separate internal and external. Because the internal needs to be manifest through an external. And the external needs an internal to actually give it some direction and purpose. Right? So you can't separate them. Right? You know, like the cook. The cooking and the pots. Right? You don't eat the pots. Right? But without the pots, how do you cook the stuff that's in the pots? Right? And without the science of cooking, what's the use of the pots and the ingredients? Right? So it's all part of one thing. Right? This aspect of causation. You have to have someone who's performing the observable activity, but at the same time as that will transform the material energy. Right? So that's the second, the material cause. But both of those are based on the science, right, of how to act and how to act in Krishna consciousness. That's your formal cause, right? What is the science behind the whole thing? And then ultimately there's Krishna, who is the source of this science and of the activities and the results. Right? So it's external manifestation, the preaching, the book distribution, going out on Hari Nam, doing all these different things that attract people to Krishna consciousness. Right? That's the first step. That's important, but that's Madan Mohan, attracting people to Krishna consciousness. It's one of three. It's the biggest, it's the most observable, but it's not the end. This is a mistake that's made if we think it ends here. Because the next stage is what Prabhupada's talking about here. And he's talking to a GBC member. Your first job is to make sure that every one of the devotees in your zone of measure is reading regularly our literature and discussing the subject matter seriously from different angles of seeing. And if they are somehow or another absorbing the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. This is the second. The second is Vishwambar, right? First is Chaitanya, that's life, enthusiasm. The second is Vishwambar, cultivating, nourishing the devotees. Right? And this is done through this process. This is called Vichar in Sanskrit. Vichar means discussing the philosophy from different angles of vision. Because you get it in one way, but material nature is quite varied. So you have to see from different angles so that you have a more complete picture. And Krishna is unlimited, so it's something you can do forever. So it's, you know, it's a nice thing. So this is the second stage. Right? The third stage is that having absorbed these things, then one is cultivating one's own personal development. Right? One has come to that stage, one can cultivate that. And one is trying to absorb oneself in trying to develop one's love for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So you have Chaitanya, Vishwambar, and Gaura. Right? Does this make sense? This is the preaching. This is the complete package. So, as we mentioned before, many things, you just distribute books so that people will join to distribute books so that they'll join to distribute books. No, you distribute books so people join so that then you can cultivate them in Krishna consciousness and they can start cultivating themselves and develop love for God. That's the complete process. But it's not going to happen until people are attracted to Krishna consciousness. Right? So Madan Mahan, then Govinda, and then that results in Gopinath. Right? It's not out of sentiment that we have these three deities. This is our process. So that means then your preaching, your management has to be based on these processes. Otherwise you can base them on something else if you want, you know, IBM or, you know, Exxon or whatever you like. But the point is we have our own framework. Right? And if you don't consider these things, it won't be complete. Right? So the form is very important, but the form is there to develop it. There's another place, I don't know that it will come up here, but where Prabhupada mentions that the GBC is not the one to be necessarily out on the front. He's supposed to mainly be seen to the cultivation of devotees. Others can go out and do the frontline preaching. Does that make sense? Right? Because Krishna and Gita is mentioning, one who preaches to the devotees, that's most dear. Right? Because the first step you go out, you interest somebody, that's a big step. But once they're interested, what are you going to do with them for the rest of their life? That's the next big step. So that's what the GBC has to see to. Because if that's done, then that individual will also get to that third platform where they themselves will be able to cultivate Krishna consciousness in their own, their own determination. Does that make sense? So it changes the purview of man. It's not just now just an office and a desk and some pieces of paper and some files and a secretary and some meetings. That's there. That's to organize to see that the preaching goes on, the cultivation of devotees go on, people are cultivating themselves. Right? That's what it's for. It's not complete in itself. If it's complete in itself, then we've made the mistake that the external is everything. Right? That's the problem. There must be life to that external. Right? So there's no problem in having all that. That has to be there if you're doing administration. But that's not the life of administration. Right? The life is the preaching. The life is Krishna consciousness. Then another letter. Oh, it's probably the same letter to Satsrut Maharaj. And then quoting, "What good are many devotees if none of them are knowledgeable?" Right? In other words, Prabhupada wanted to create a class of Brahmins. If you have Brahmins, they'll create Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas will create the protective environment in which everything will flourish. Right? Yudhishthira Maharaj goes out into the middle of nowhere. Right? He's given half of the kingdom that nobody lives there. There was a curse on it. So there were not even animals there. It's just a big area. Nobody lives there. It's nothing there. So he's given that. So he goes out there, and then with the blessings of Krishna and everything, then and Indra comes, he builds the city, Maya Dhanava builds the assembly hall, all that. Once something is established and it's a safe environment, right? Because remember, the essential point of administration is protection or safety. Not something else. Not management. No, safety. You manage safety. Right? Then having done this, then automatically all the businessmen came. Right? Is there a lot of investment going on in countries where there's civil war? Are the big multinational companies coming forward and investing money? No. They invest in a place that's stable and safe. That's the way it works. That's what Kshatriyas do. They manage protection. Brahmins manage knowledge. Vaishyas manage money, economics. Shudras manage art forms. So don't think management means exclusively administration. No. Management is what you do to get something done. And so what are they getting done? Protection. That's what a temple president does. Temple president creates an environment that everybody in that community feels safe. So if you're safe, then your identity is strong. If that's strong, you get involved. You can't do an activity if you have no identity. Right? If you don't have a strong identity, there's not going to be any dynamic activity. If you're not sure who you are, you don't do anything. When you're sure, you do something. People who are successful in the world, they have a strong identity. Right? So we have the strongest. We're servant of Krishna. But you have to feel comfortable in that, protected in that. That if I'm going to let loose of all my material, you know, perspective and endeavor, I have to feel I'm going to be safe in this Krishna conscious environment. That's what the temple is supposed to be. That's what the administrator does. Having created that safe environment and seeing that programs are going on, the GBC is supposed to oversee that it's all going nicely, that the balance is there, the devotees are learning moving forward. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
What is the safety? Is it purely physical?
Safety means you have to... Safety means on all things you're dealing on four levels, right? Because you're dealing with this, with Atma. Atma. Self-realization means dealing with this, with Atma. Atma means the body, which means the physical environment, the facilities. The mind, it's the emotional environment. The intelligence, the intellectual environment. And the soul, which is consciousness, so the spiritual or Krishna conscious environment. So all four of those have to be seen. Right?
How would one feel unsafe, like intellectually?
Unsafe intellectually. There is no value in reading. If you're reading, you're wasting your time. It's all theory. You know, we're doing the real practical stuff. This is an unsafe intellectual environment. Does that make sense? Emotional environment. Emotions are wrong. Attachment is wrong. You know, getting involved, all that. Only surrender, you know, to the temple president. That's right. You know, that's emotional unsafe. Because the point is why are people grihasthas? Because they need that emotional exchange. So the problem's not the emotional exchange. The problem is they don't see that emotional exchange in connection with Krishna. They don't see it's coming from Krishna. Right? That feeling when you walk in the door and then your child sees you and then says, Daddy, Daddy, or Mommy, Mommy, and comes running with their arms outstretched and all that. That feeling is not coming from that dead matter that happens to be, you know, locomoting itself towards you. It's Krishna is empowered that to give you that experience. Otherwise, why is it every parent has the same experience? Because their dead matter that's, you know, running at them looks different. It's different sizes. You know what I'm saying? How does dead matter run? You know what I'm saying? So all that's Krishna. It's Krishna's potency. Because the parent wants to experience that exchange. The child wants to experience that exchange. Therefore, Krishna's arranged it, right, to that environment is there, and he's the one that gives all that ability and motion and all these things. Then the living entities experience it, but it's actually Krishna that they're experiencing. So you understand that that's Krishna, you know, either like that intellectually, or you somehow know to connect that all to Krishna in some way. Then it's not illusion. Right? But if you don't connect it, it is illusion. Right? So to be able to understand that it's fine to be involved in those activities, but you have to be God conscious. You know, we'll say, you know, either it's all Maya, it's all nonsense, or, you know, what's the problem? You know, don't be fanatic. But in either of those statements, was there any Krishna conscious philosophy? No. And right here, what good are many devotees if none of them are knowledgeable? So what's the use of these two statements? What's the use of the position of the devotee who takes these two statements? Prabhupada says here, what good? We may say, no, but you have to, you know, be considerate. And yes, that's good. But we're talking about going back to Godhead. It's a practical, direct thing. If it doesn't happen, what's the use? You go back to Godhead because you're God conscious. And that God consciousness is favorable. So if you're not conscious of God, how will it work? So this is what the temple president is supposed to be arranging. Otherwise, if the temple president doesn't step in, you're always going to have the us and them between the temple and the community. Temple devotees are correct in that. They're fired up, and the community's out of it, right? I mean, I don't think they use the term now, but they used to use the term fringies, right? Around the edge, on the fringe, like that. I don't think it had anything to do with the show, but, you know, they weren't quite there. But the actual standard is whatever position you're in, you start with that and become Krishna conscious from there. So if you're just connecting to Krishna consciousness next, it's one process. Right? Someone's born in Shraddha, someone's just coming into Sadhu Sangha, someone's just taking up Bhajana Kriya, someone is working nicely in Bhajana Kriya and has become stable in it, someone has a taste for Krishna consciousness, someone's attached to Krishna consciousness. Right? So it's one process. But we'll divide it up into us, them, this, that, because politics and money, these two are always very, you know, you get things done that way. You want something, you get it done with these two. You know, so we see that. But actually, all these things have a nature. And if you don't see that, you don't actually understand. Grihastha means he has this inclination, this need. That's the nature of the grihasthas, to taste the interaction of grihastha life. That's a need, so you can't just write that off. But you have to see, how is that God conscious? Right? This is what the president's supposed to be doing. Right? Just because he comes in at 9 o'clock in the morning because his wife finally let him go, like that, and then he comes in, you know, this and that, and because he just happens to be there for that long, and he's got to go and drop his, you know, daughter off at the dentist today, so he's leaving at 3 o'clock rather than 5 o'clock, so he's got to really push in that, and that's why he doesn't have to follow any etiquette. He can just be rough with everybody because he's got to get this work done. But it's all around his grihastha life. It has nothing to do with the temple. So why is it his life is important and no one else's is? Why is it he's the only one that's being practical and everybody else is being, you know, doesn't really know what's going on? Does that make sense? So in other words, you understand nature, then you understand his nature. He has to get things done efficiently. The temple devotees have to be engaged, have to be taken care of. The community has to feel comfortable. What they're doing is fine. They just have to connect it with Krishna. So everybody feels safe because everybody's being recognized. Everybody's position is part of the overall equation. That's protection. That's God consciousness. Right? That's what it is. So it's a very, very broad. So nowadays we only discuss basically the political and economic value of something. But Prabhupada, you see here again and again, is talking about that's not the prominent thing. You're managing Krishna consciousness. Right? So that means there must be Krishna consciousness going on. And we see he puts an emphasis on studying the literature. If you don't know the philosophy, then how does one know if one's speaking proper or not? Just like you say, I'm just being practical, Prabhu, you know. I just, you know, have to get the work done. But then who actually is getting the work done? Right? Is Paramatma not sitting there in the heart of the materialist? Right, the CEO of the big multinational company, it's not Paramatma that's actually getting the work done. He desires that it gets done. He has the karma. So therefore, Paramatma arranges through the modes of nature. And then he is successful. Right? But he thinks he did it. So that's called karma mimamsa. I perform the activity, I deserve the result. So it's my activity that creates, because my activity is the karma. So I've done the work, then the work has to come. So God, all that He does is actually arrange my karma that I did. Right? That's pure karma mimamsa. Right? So then if we just cover that a little bit, it doesn't mean it changes the philosophy. Just like Buddhism, you cover it a little bit and call it Mayavad, doesn't mean it's not Buddhism. Right? Shankara's philosophy is just Buddhism, that's all. It's just based on the Vedic literature instead of rejecting the Vedic literature. That's the only difference. So the same way is that unless we study the philosophy, how do we know that we're not talking all these other philosophies? Right? So that's what it says. So they somehow or another absorbing the knowledge, seeing it from different angles. So you see it from the physical, from the intellectual, the emotional, the spiritual, the devotional, all these different aspects we see it from. Right? Different kinds of the spiritual, all these have varieties. So that kind of thing, that's what was supposed to be happening. It doesn't mean that other things don't go on, because if everybody sits down and only does that, then there's no new people becoming attracted. So it's a process, attracting people, training them, and then going back to Godhead. So that's, we see Prabhupada's pushing it. Every year they come up with some, Prabhupada said, double it, you know, book distribution, double it, until 75. Then he didn't say double it, he said, now boil the milk. So now it's been, what, 35 years, we're waiting for someone to put the pot on the stove. You know, fortunately, the milk doesn't go bad. It's, you know, spiritual milk doesn't go bad. But we're still waiting for it to boil the milk, which means now, in other words, he was happy that the platform of book distribution and frontline preaching was up to a level that he felt was good. Now that remains. Everybody's already doing that, so you don't have to think so much about it. Now the focus can be shifted to boiling the milk, which meant training the devotees. Exactly what he's saying here. He's already saying this from 72. In fact, he was already talking about it from 68. But now he's saying, okay, now the preaching is good. So that first aspect is strong. How that's going, those millions of books going out, so many centers, you know, thousands of devotees joining, this and that. Now this is a good standard. Now keep this up. Now focus on making the devotees, you know, studying the books and Krishna conscious. Right? Does that make sense? Because in the beginning, you do something, it takes more time. Like I remember first time I went into the kitchen to cook khichdi, right? For three people, right? 3 hours later, and the sannyasi yelling his head off, finally it was done, right? You know, something that should only take like 20 minutes, half an hour, it was 3 hours. Right? So with time, then all that level of book distribution and making devotees and all that won't take up as much time, because one is more expert at it. So that remains, and so that time gain, that's now used for the second phase, training devotees. You understand? This is the process. We see it there. It's right. Prabhupada mentions it. We can say it's not practical, but then that means we're going back to this original thing. You know, what was it? The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scripture. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. We must remember, one can say, oh, well, that's Karmakanda. Manu is in no way Karmakanda. The opening three verses, which is the invocation, that sets the whole book and tells you what's going on in the book, who it's for, what's the knowledge. So now, the great sages, so it's not just some, you know, guys from down at the corner, right? Some paisanos or something, right? It's that the great sages are approaching Lord Brahma. And why are they approaching him? They say that you know Varnashram in connection with the Supreme Lord, so that by practicing Varnashram, you can know the Lord and go back to Godhead. Right? So that's what Manu is about. Manu is Daiva Varnashram. So to just use our little, you know, pea brain and then say, oh, well, that's karma. But then what is this statement by Prabhupada here? Prabhupada couldn't tell the difference. We're so smart. This is Bhagavad Gita also. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. He doesn't say may or can. It says should. Right? So if we're not basing it there, then what's the meaning? Then we're making it up. And if we make it up, we, unless we're perfect, right, we're on the path from liberation, then we're going to make mistakes and be an illusion. Right? We're going to cheat. Right? Right? Our senses are imperfect. We won't actually see the field properly. That's why it has to be based on scriptures. Then everything will work very well. Right? The system is there. It's a matter of being aware of it. If we say, oh, we tried that, it didn't work, then one might say, well, maybe you didn't actually try it. You know, I tried riding the bicycle, but, you know, I bumped into a tree and fell off. So, you know, this bicycle is useless. You know what I'm saying? So can you say, did you actually try it? You did in one way, but you didn't try it in its standard way. You have to practice until you get it right. If you know what you're trying to get, just like we said there, is that Brahminical cult means knowledge. Right? The Kshatriya means protection. Vaishya means generating funds and distributing funds. And Shudra means to assist others. These are the essential points. If we know these, then we know what to obtain. Right? We don't know that. We don't know what to obtain. Management is just to control things? No. What's the big deal of controlling things? Right? Does that make sense? Unless you're getting something from it, but what are you getting from it? Okay, you got some observe. You move the material energy, got some other physical material form, but is anybody comfortable? Is everybody feeling happy? Are they Krishna conscious? You know what I'm saying? The definition is not just to make permutations in the material energy, and that's perfection. Right? It's a matter of, in the process of doing that, be Krishna conscious and make everybody else Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? So that's protection. So we always see, why do the Pandavas stand out? Because protection is the stronger point. Right? Others are ordinary. You know, Duryodhana does things, he tries to burn down the house of lack. We don't say, how can a Kshatriya do this? Because Kshatriyas do stuff like that. Right? It's political. They use their force. That's ordinary. But special is when they do it in connection with Krishna. Krishna's standards. Therefore, they don't engage in ways that pleasure of Krishna is not the ultimate. It doesn't mean that they're not doing politics. It doesn't mean Yudhishthira doesn't have his spies. Right? Constantly they're there and they know through their spies what Duryodhana is doing. But that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is the sadhu sangha, is Krishna consciousness. That's why you don't see it so much. With Duryodhana, that's all you hear about. His niti and his spies and this and that. Because that's all he's absorbed in. But Yudhishthira is absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He's doing the same thing, but in connection with Krishna, while Duryodhana is not. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, a grihastha wants to enter the grihastha ashram because he has a desire to taste that relationship, for example, between the son and himself.
Yes.
And he should understand that relationship, the feeling he gets from it is coming from Krishna. Like you said, when the child is running toward him with his arms outstretched. So is it that the more one analyzes the workings of a situation, the less one tastes the rasa in that situation?
Okay, this is an important anxiety. The more one analyzes the situation, then the more less one tastes it. It depends upon how you apply it, right? Because action is connected with knowledge. So the more the knowledge is there, then the more you know how to deal with it. Because in analyzation, See, is one separates oneself from an experience because in analyzation he separates himself from what is going on at present. Right? So that means you move from the position of experiencing simply to analyzing. But the point is to be able to analyze and act at the same time. Right? That's why there has to be moments of contemplation where one is only analyzing because one's not dealing with that situation. So that at the time, one knows what one's options are and works within it. But it's actually the person who can analyze it gets more taste. Okay. This is something that those who know the Vedic culture understand, and those who don't have entrance into. They won't understand. Because they think, well, it has to be spontaneous and this and that. But where is that spontaneity coming from? Right? So they're just waiting for it to happen. You know? They're saying, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. Why? Because they don't know why, what happened, what controls it, what creates it. But we do. We know the science. You know who you are. You know the environment. You know what's there. And it's an environment you want to be involved in. You have inspiration. So that's where the spontaneity comes. But that's based on knowledge of the field. Otherwise, it's simply like the animals. It comes up, and then when it goes away, you're waiting so that you're dependent. That is okay for the common person. Right? But someone who's trained, then they don't wait for it to happen. They create that. Right? It's, of course, by following the scriptures and all that. That makes sense? So this is what, you don't know these things. How do you create it? You know what I'm saying? The big kirtaniers come and they do the kirtan and all that. And they do something, some far out things sometimes that are out of the ordinary. Right? And so then one feels, then, you know, the brahmacharis are all fired up by that. And then the big kirtaniers go away and all that. And then you hear a couple of weeks later, those brahmacharis were inspired by that. Then they do those tricks in the kirtan. And amongst themselves they're fired up, and everybody else is kind of wondering what's going on here. Because it wasn't the technique that created the inspiration. It's something else. It's one's inspiration and God consciousness, inspired in being in the association of the devotees, inspired by chanting the holy name, inspired by being in the holy dham, you know, inspired by seeing the deities. That's why they said what they said or did what they did. It wasn't that. So that what they did was a symptom of something higher. You understand?
Yes.
So that's a mistake to make. So one has to know that these things are happening because there's a process. Right? You know what I'm saying? There's a process. And because of that, then it works. You know what I'm saying? The science makes it work. Otherwise, you have to wait around for you know, somehow or another, your good karma to allow a moment of, you know, whatever it is you're looking for. Does that make sense?
Mm.
Like that? So that's the point.
So does that mean that you have to, one has to analyze the situation with knowledge and at the same time experience it?
Means you do, but it'll be one or the other. But point is, there's times that, like now, you're sitting here. Where are the kids running up and saying, Daddy, Daddy? Right? So now you analyze it. But the point is that experience you're getting, that's Krishna, so it's not actually the kid. Okay? So now you can go one of two ways, the way of the devotee or the way of the Mayavadi. Okay? Now, of course, the way of the Mayavadi is more popular, but so the way of the Mayavadi is, so it's not the kid, actually, it's Krishna's potency. So why am I even interacting with this kid? It's Maya. Therefore, you know, I spend more time out with the brahmacharis or stuff like that and ignore the family because it's not actually Krishna conscious, right? And then that's fine. They go along, and those brahmacharis and those other grihasthas get together and, yeah, you know, family life and this and that, and, you know, do all the different things, you know. And, you know, which is nice. And then after 10 years, they end up, you know, running off with someone else and, you know, starting all over again. You know, so they just wasted 10 years of their life. Right? So they neither understood Krishna consciousness, nor did they deal with their material needs. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right. So then the devotee would look at it, since it's Krishna that's that, so therefore, if Krishna is the potency of Krishna, that's the child, so therefore I'm actually interacting ultimately with Krishna. Immediately with this living entity who thinks they're the kid. Right? But ultimately with Krishna's potency. So therefore, how should I deal with this kid that Krishna will be pleased? Since Krishna has designed the concept of kid. You understand? So we see is that how do you take care of a kid? You know, they get proper attention physically, emotionally. You try to train them intellectually. You try to train them in God consciousness. You know, they're, you know, clean. They're dressed nicely. Fed nicely. You take care of their health. All these things, because actually that kidness that I'm looking at is actually Krishna. Not that the kid's Krishna. That potency is Krishna. So now at this point, the kid's hungry. Therefore, I feed them. And this is there, I do that. Not that, oh, the kid's hungry, but, you know, I have an appointment with all my friends at the spa, and, you know, I got to have my own time. I mean, this is crazy. I have to always, you know, take care of this kid. He's always hungry, you know. What about my time? What about me? You know, that kind of crap. You know, that if you go down there, and your psychologist will tell you that this is important, right? So then, how do you be God conscious? So God says that when he, as the kid, is interacting with you, you're supposed to go to the spa. I mean, I do know when it says when the going gets tough, it's tough, go shopping, right? But, you know, but you got to work it around when it's work. You understand? So that means you have to be conscious of the moment, what's going on right now. So that takes intelligence. If you don't use your intelligence, you're going to live in the future or past. Someone who's intelligent lives in the present. Right? And because of that, they see what's going on now and then decide, according to Shastra, what should be done. And the Shastra explains down to that level. Just we don't look. Shastra tells you exactly what to do in every moment. So then we apply that. And then having applied it, then after we'll contemplate how well did we perform in that? How could we have done it better? How could we have been more God conscious? How could we have been more efficient in that interaction? You know what I'm saying? It's little things like that. You walk in like that, and the wife says, you know, oh, how did things go today? And just that something on the television happens, it catches your attention, you look over there. Then what happens? The wife thinks, oh, you don't care about me, you care more about your football game. Like that. And so then what happens to the rest of the evening? Right? So that was how much that was a moment, which means an 11th of a second. But that 11th of a second ruined your evening. You can say, oh, why is she being trippy? No, you ruined it. Because what was on the floor, what was happening at the moment, was the interaction between the husband and the wife. He was coming home. She was welcoming. How did your day go? This and that. But he got distracted and was doing something else, which wasn't actually the most important. It was happening, but it's not the most important relationship. You know what I'm saying? And then after all that, then she goes back in the kitchen because she's got phone calls to her friends and this and that. Then you go watch your television. I'm just being realistic. It's no recommendations. I'm just talking about, yeah. Now, the other question is whether it's NFL or AFL, right? You know, so it's like, you understand?
Yeah.
So, the point is that if you're not dealing in the moment, you actually have missed it, and you can't blame someone else. That's the point. We like to blame someone else, but we can't. That's what Prabhupada says, that every moment we have the free will to make our choice. But we think it's whatever choice I make, everybody else has to accept that. No. In a relationship, you have to make a choice that is acceptable to the other person you're having an interaction with. Right? So this is the level that the individual has to function at. So then that means, as a leader, one has to be situated in this. Then one can train others to function on this platform. So one has to be aware. That way, then, you can engage everything in Krishna's service. But if you don't know this, then it's always going to be just your little papers on your desk and your email is the real important thing. And nothing else is really important. Right? But it's actually attracting people to Krishna consciousness and cultivating in Krishna consciousness that's important. You don't do that, one has actually failed as a leader. One has failed. One may have great accounts, good bank balance and all that, you know, and, you know, what's his name? I can't even remember his name, but, you know, whatever. All these different people will be very satisfied and it's very good, but at the same time, as there's no life in the temple. Like that. So the life comes from the Krishna consciousness. And then you use management as your medium of being conscious. Right? The grihastha is using the family life as the medium. The brahmachari is using his life as the medium. Temple president is using that field as the medium. Right? You have to have a medium. But everybody's doing the same thing, becoming God conscious, becoming aware. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Then, letter to Sri Dayananda, 9th July, 72. Our first business is to preach to the devotees and to maintain the highest standard of Vaishnava education. Managing must be there as well, just as I am preaching daily from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, but I am also going to the bank, making investments, seeing the trial balance, making letters, seeing how things are going on, like that. So you must become expert in all these matters, just as I am giving you example. So Prabhupada is saying cultivating the devotees is the first thing. That's the first. Then you do your managing as well. Because managing is a secondary thing. Education is the higher principle. Right? It's the Brahminical platform. Right? The management, that's on the second platform, the Kshatriya platform. So it's actually not as absorbing. One can make it absorbing, but it's not as absorbing. Right? So in other words, one's increasing the mode of goodness instead of the mode of passion. You increase the mode of passion, that's all right, as long as you have that much energy, you know. But nowadays, when people are, you know, having to go to, what do you call that, physiotherapy and all that, I don't think, you know, energy is, you know, high on the list. So, in other words, the mode of goodness, education, that standard is the prominent. And then how much needs to be done? Finding that balance, of course, that takes time. That takes practice, but this is what's going on here. Then, role of GBC and temple president. Letter to Giriraj, London, 12th August, 71. GBC does not mean to control a center. GBC means to see that the activities of a center go on nicely. I do not know why Tamal is exercising his absolute authority. That is not the business of GBC. The president, treasurer, and secretary are responsible for managing the center. GBC is to see that things are going on nicely, not to exert absolute authority. That is not in the power of GBC. Tamal should not do like that. The GBC men cannot impose anything on the men of a center without consulting all of the GBC members first. Right? In other words, if this need that it's not going right, you have to, you know, just exert it means this is the way it is, they like it or not, can only be done with other GBC. So it can be done. But it has to, it's not done as an individual. So he's saying here it's going on directly. So that's not right. It has to be in consultation with others. And The local temple president and his officers, they're the managing authority. A GBC member cannot go beyond the jurisdiction of his power. We are in the experimental stage, but in the next meeting of the GBC members, they should form a constitution how the GBC members manage the whole affair. But it is a fact that the local president is not under the control of the GBC. Yes, for improvement of situations such as this, I must be informed of everything. So he's not actually under the control of the GBC. He's under the influence of the GBC. Right? It's a very delicate point here, because this is the balance between the Brahmin and Kshatriya. The Brahmins don't control the Kshatriyas, but the Kshatriyas place themselves under the control, meaning that they're getting the direction. But the actual control is in the hand of the king. Right? The king doesn't go beyond his and ignore the Brahmins, because we see if that happens, right? It didn't work out so good for 21 generations of Kshatriyas that ignored Parasuram. Right? So that doesn't work. And you see time and time again, Krishna does not approve of Kshatriyas working without Brahmins. But at the same time, as Brahmins aren't in control of the Kshatriyas. Right? They work together. They have a natural working relationship. That's culture. Right? So if you want to define it simply by power structure, it's not big enough. Power structure is not big enough. We may think, oh, I'll put up my little diagram of the power structure. It's not big enough to include. That's why one can't include it. The question was before. What's relates to it between the guru and the GBC and the temple president and the sannyasis, temple president, like that. The grid is not big enough. Because you're dealing with culture, with relationships, and that's not represented on that little graph of yours. Because all it's taking consideration is power. It's not consideration economics. It's not considering knowledge. It's not being based on the principles of Sambandha Abhidaya and Prayojana. What are the relationships? So it can only do a certain specific thing. Keep it to that. But trying to explain everything from that, you can't do. That's like saying, I have a thermometer, and that I'm going to tell, you know, what the temperature outside, I'm going to tell, you know, what color my walls are painted, and I'm going to tell, you know, what shoes I should wear to dinner. It doesn't do it, it only tells the temperature. So the graph can only do that. So to think you're going to work everything out that way, that's a problem. So we can understand here, Prabhupada's talking something beyond politics. Otherwise, you say, it is a fact the local president is not under control of the GBC. So then one can say, oh, we don't need the GBC. Of course you need the GBC. Otherwise, how do you establish your standards? If you're not going to make up your own thing, it has to be by authority. That authority is the GBC. Right? And they're working on the principles of God consciousness, what's said in Prabhupada's books, what the previous acharyas have said. Therefore, then the temple president gets directed in that way. But the president is the one who does it. You know, very simple, very straightforward, but it's cultural. That's why it's hard to understand. Right? In India, it's been practiced like this, you know, for millions. You go to any mutt, you have the spiritual heads and you have the managers. The managers manage, the spiritual heads. But the spiritual head sees the managers managing in a way that's favorable to the spiritual direction. Right? And the manager is seeing that all the plans and ideas and all that of that spiritual leader is being affected. Because they're the one that gets it done. Every temple in India, every mat works like this. But somehow or another, once you cross, you know, the Sindhu River, then there's a problem. Yes, we'll get that.
How it is going on together with the statement that GBC is ultimate spiritual and managerial authority?
Ultimate managerial authority, meaning that they can pull the strings, but it doesn't say that they're the ones that are managing the temple. Ultimate means it's just like this. Who eats, you have a kid sitting at the table eating breakfast, okay? Who eats the breakfast? The kid, right? But who is the kid's authority? The mother. So does the mother eat the kid's breakfast? No, so that's the point. She's the ultimate authority, but it's still the temple president. He does the work. ultimate managerial authority. But what are we? What out of these quotes here is Prabhupada making the basis of the managerial authority? Education, knowledge, Vaishnav standards, right? Our first business, and this is to GBC, is to preach to the devotees and maintain the highest standard of Vaishnav education. That's the basis. That is the authority of the highest managerial authority. Then day-to-day pushing your papers around, that the president does. Right? And if need be, if someone's not acting properly, then he can be removed or changed. Just like the Venu is the king. And then if it doesn't go right, then the Brahmins get together, decide this is not working, and remove him. But in removing him, they replace him with something better. So that's also part of the package of removal, is you have to put in something better to replace it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the system. It's an age-old situation. So Prabhupada's not saying anything different between the temple president and the GBC as has been going on that we read in the Bhagavatam between the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas. It's the same system. It's just being made clear for us and our situation. So that's the thing. We go, well, the Vedic, we don't know what it is. What do you mean? We hear it again and again. All Prabhupada talks is Vedic. You know what I'm saying? So one has to know what these words mean. Otherwise, it's semantics. Oh, you know, highest managing authority. Well, why did management get understood? Why not? What does highest mean? Highest means management. Higher than management is knowledge. It said that if a Brahmin and a Kshatriya are standing face to face, and the Kshatriya is 90 years old, and a man who's 90 years old, no matter who he is, even his Shudra, he's respected in the community. Right? So a Kshatriya is 90 years old, and the Brahmin is 10 years old. Then Manu says the relationship between the two of them are like father and son. The Brahmin being the father. Because, you know, knowledge is always superior to administration. So that's the highest managerial authority. It didn't say highest administrative authority, did he? The temple president is the highest administrative authority. GBC are managing, but they're not administrating. The temple president's administrating. It's very, very fine. So if we can't appreciate this, then we'll never appreciate Vaishnav culture or etiquette. It's all part of the same thing. Does that make sense?
Previously, you said that administration.
They basically mean the same thing, but just to make a difference, we're using the two words like that. Yes.
I was confused that this is a higher level than managing and administrating. And now you said that,
as we mentioned, administration is higher than management, right? In other words, in your operative and your material cause, it's higher. But education is higher than administration. But as we said, everybody manages, right? Because management is localized. You're managing just the education. You're managing administration. You're managing money. You're managing your work, right? So, but administration means you're taking into the whole picture, so that everybody, the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, everybody can function, right? Management means your area gets done, right? Does that make sense? Administration means you create the environment in which everything can get done. So that's when administration drops down to management. Then it's a problem, because then they only see management, only see power and money. They don't see culture. You don't see culture, you're not administrating. In other words, what are you administrating if you're not administrating? You're administrating people. Human being has a lifestyle. That is culture. If you're not managing that's going on nicely, right? So then these are things to consider. Okay? So the GBC is managing. Otherwise, they'll say, oh, I don't do any of this stuff. The Prabhupada is saying, I go to the bank, I make investments, I see the trial balance, I'm sending letters, I'm doing all this. So that's managing. Right? Because he's managing his field of service. So the GBCs are managing in their area. But how they're superior to the temple president is because of the education. Because they're acting in the brahminical capacity, while the temple president is acting within the kshatriya capacity. Right? The GBC may be any varna, or the temple president may be any varna, but the point is you're acting in that capacity. You know what I'm saying? Just like a preacher. The preacher, when you preach, you have to be a madhyam. You're acting in that capacity. You may have the realization of a neophyte or madhyaman or uttama. Right? But the method of preaching is that of the madhyama. Right? It has to be selfless work. That's madhyama. Neophyte means selfish. Right? So, but you have to act in that capacity. Does that make sense? Whether you're on that. So it doesn't matter what it is. This is the job description. So it acts within that capacity. So that's the relationship. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's like that. You had something else.
To what degree should the sannyasi manage or administrate?
Means the point is a sannyasi is where one's situated in the ashram. It means, in other words, one's spiritual. What is the medium of one's spiritual cultivation? Right, the brahmachari, it's in study, you know, and menial service. You know, under the direction of authority, that's his medium for personal development. The grihastha then is within the family life. And so the family life becomes the medium of his spiritual cultivation. Vanaprastha is removing oneself from the habit and practice of family life. Right? And sannyasi means not being, you know, not really caring about any of that. You know, you just, whatever situation you're in, that's what you function within. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like that. So then, outside of that, what his particular service is to Krishna, then that's another consideration. So if it's managing this, that, then he does it. You know, so there's better situations and not better situations.
Sometimes you get to know sannyasi shouldn't manage.
That's that. So, but Prabhupada's saying he shouldn't manage. So there means he shouldn't administrate, because you have to manage. Housewife manages the house, right? You know, how does it get done? The rickshaw wala, you get on the rickshaw. Why does the rickshaw work? Because the rickshaw managed it. You know, so that's the thing, is we don't actually think that deeply about the term management. Maybe administrator. They say they shouldn't. Yes. Okay, great. But then so many things the grihastha should do. The grihastha should take care of the women. So when the grihasthas take care of the women, the sannyasis don't have to administrate. They go together. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But it doesn't happen. So in other words, let everybody look at their own area, you know. So Swami Narayans, they say so many things, but since when have we ever cared about the Swami Narayans? Well, which nanosecond did we ever care? How are you saying? We could probably pull out quotes from a lot of people about anything, you know? Like, I think Marx said, you know, religion is the opiate of the people. So how much do we care about that? He did talk about religion.
I mean, even in our group, people say sannyasis shouldn't touch money.
Anyone who says sannyasi shouldn't touch money doesn't know our philosophy. That's all. It's that simple. Yeah. Because the point is whose money is it? Yes, a sannyasi doesn't touch his own money. But it doesn't mean you can't. Because who's money? Money's Lakshmi. Right? And so that means it should be engaged in Krishna service. Does that mean that a grihastha can touch money that is only meant for his own purposes and no connection to Krishna? Does a devotee grihastha do that? Is a devotee grihastha allowed to touch money that has no connection to Krishna and he considers it 100% his money? Is he allowed to do that? Yes or no? Now you have two options. One, the option of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, or you want to win your argument. Which one will it be? No, no, but I'm just saying the point is, but why aren't you giving an answer? Is a devotee grihastha allowed to touch money that he considers as his and doesn't see his connection to Krishna? Okay. Anybody else?
No.
No. So the point is a devotee only sees things in connection to Krishna. Right? The husband, he has a wife. So can he touch her in ways that the Shastra doesn't approve of? Is he allowed to do that? Right in the marriage ceremony, one of the first mantras that is said after they put their hands together is, this bride belongs to Vishnu. In other words, the girl belongs to the Lord, so that means you have to deal with this girl as the Lord says she's to be dealt with. So can a grihastha man deal with his wife any way he likes? No. So that's why I said in the beginning, it's very nice to pinpoint the sannyasis, but it's not the sannyasis or the gurus or the temple presidents or the GBC. It's the whole package. There's a Krishna conscious culture that matches our philosophy. That's what's not being addressed. Because the point is Lakshmi is Krishna's internal potency. So is there a problem with a sannyasi touching the internal potency? You know what I'm saying? So the point is if you see it in that way, what's the difference? Right? Do the little pieces of paper with little faces on them, are those, is that actually affects the monetary value?
I think the argument is that money has, it leads to corruption.
So does sex with your wife. You know what I'm saying? And which leads to more corruption? You know what I'm saying? So we can pick anything. All it is that it's like this. Sannyasi is like, means one who's properly situated, then they do well. Why? People like them because they're not looking after any needs for themselves. The ladies like them. Right? The ladies will surrender 100%. The grihastha men don't like this. Why? Because maximum they can get on a good day is 50% surrender from their wife. And so they're really annoyed. How is it the sannyasis, everything goes nicely for them? And I'm struggling so hard to keep my family together because I have so many material needs. And therefore, if we kick out the sannyasis, then us grihasthas will be rightly situated and all the money and facility and power and recognition we want, we'll have. End quote. But it won't happen. Why? Because it's the matter of it's connected to Krishna and it's not for us. That is the working principle. It's not the externals. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is one could take anything. The woman represents the total material creation. So that's not something that can create corruption. You know, so how is it the grihastha is so well situated? If he's not God conscious, he's no more well situated than anyone else. And if someone's God conscious, it doesn't matter where they're situated. That's their philosophy. It doesn't matter if you're a grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasa, or brahmin. It doesn't matter. Grihe tako, bani tako, sadahari, boli tako. It doesn't matter. Because everybody is using that as their medium. One has more conditioning in a certain way. One situates oneself in that way. Right? One living entity is attached to attachment. He situates himself as a grihastha. Someone else is attached to detachment. He situates himself as a brahmacharya sannyasi. But both of them ultimately are useless if it's not connected to Krishna. Because attachment and detachment is still are part of this world. So that's not the consideration. We can go on and on about this and that. But what is the essence of the whole thing? Right? Because the same thing that this in the same statements that, oh, the sannyasi shouldn't touch money is the same statement as Maya that the grihastha is attached to his wife and his kids. And therefore he doesn't interact with his kids. So he's not even a grihastha. You know what I'm saying? It's socially, how do you say, dysfunctional. It just doesn't work. Because the principle of what actually is going on, that it's some medium to connect to Krishna, is not understood, and they're looking at these externals. And even if they're going to look at the externals, then fully look at them. You know? Because along with that goes, okay, they shouldn't touch money, but then are you supposed to give money to sannyasis? Is the grihastha supposed to give donations to sannyasis? Is that part of the culture? Yes. So then what's he supposed to do with that money? You know? He's not supposed to touch it. You know what I'm saying? A Brahmin does a sacrifice like that. Someone comes over your house. The Brahmins come over to a grihastha's house, do a program in his house. You know, he'll feed them something and that and consider job well done. Does he give donations to them? No, that's part of what he's supposed to do. So the thing is it seems to be is it's a one-way street for the money. It goes into the grihastha ashram. Nothing comes out and nobody else should have any. But where does that come from? That comes from a shortage mentality. This comes from the modern thing of rich dad, poor dad. You think, oh, there is no money. There's like that. So it's, you know, this sannyasi collected that money from that person. So if I don't get that as the temple president, we'll have no money. It's coming from that. Even the karmis know that's wrong. You know what I'm saying? That's not the problem. Money is everywhere. This Prabhupada said it's flying in the air. You simply have to know how to reach up and grab it. You know? So that's the thing. It always comes back to money. Because in the same thing where a sannyasi is not supposed to touch money, is a sannyasi supposed to be up there doing guru puja for Prabhupada and next to him is all the ladies and they're handing him the paraphernalia and they're waving the chamras for Prabhupada? Is that what about that in the sannyasi? Oh, don't be fanatic, Prabhu. So then don't be fanatic about the money. If we're not going to be fanatic, the sannyasis have to work with women, have to do everything by the women, then fine. But then why get the other things? It's a package. You know what I'm saying? Like that. In Manu, when it talks about adultery, you know who it talks about? It talks about grihasthas. So we have this idea, if you're a grihastha man, you can talk to any woman anywhere privately, and it's fine. According to the Vedic culture, it's not. In fact, one grihastha cannot go into the inner area of his another grihastha's family. But a Brahmin and a sannyasi can. What about those quotes? Why? Because they don't have anything to gain. So this is culture, and unless we approach the culture, it won't be understood, and therefore we can't make a basis of how we're going to create resolutions. The Prabhupada said in the beginning that the leader cannot work outside of the Vedic literature. So unless one knows, how do you know what to say? How, you know, deal with money, how much to deal with money? How much to do with this and that? But it's a package. It's same depth. Otherwise, it's one thing's very deep, and this, you know, the sannyasis and Brahmin, you know, are on, you know, Satya Yuga, and these grihasthas are, you know, end of Kali Yuga. You know, I mean, it doesn't match. It's like you take the same thing. The same. You're dealing with the same gene pool, right? You know. So for saying, well, we're not fanatic, grihasta is this, we can't be fanatic about the sannyasis or brahmacharis. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that we're lax, we don't care about the standards. It means be consistent in the standards. Consistency means intelligence. Inconsistency means the lack of it. We're so strict in one area, so lax in another, so Vedic there. But I thought, but the same person, if you say something about something else, oh, we don't care about these rules. You know, that's all fanatic. But then why did they quote that about the sannyasis? You know what I'm saying? We're not saying that the statement's not correct. We're just saying that what is the motive behind it? Why is it that they have such a fragmented view? So on certain issues that they like, they support the Vedas. And in certain issues they don't like, they reject the Vedas. So, you know, that's not very consistent. Not very professional. You know what I'm saying? So this whole thing, it must be consistent. We must see that it balances at the same level. You know, we have to know what goes what and not do it in our own simplistic way. It's very refined. Human being is very complex. Therefore, the social environment that a human being thrives in is also sophisticated. And so it means one has to have a sophisticated view to appreciate it and apply it. That's why Prabhupada is saying training. Somehow or another, absorbing the knowledge of Krishna conscious philosophy. That's what the GBC is supposed to do. If that's going on, then everything goes very nicely. If it's not going on, then what is the basis of making a material resolution? What is the basis? What do you take as authority? If it's not Prabhupada's books, yes, your own mind. And that can be anything, depending on what mood you're in. You know, your wife was nice to you in the morning. Your wife wasn't nice to you in the morning. It makes a lot of difference when the temple president goes to the temple. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that is. So the leaders, in other words, you know, because this is the last point, we'll just wrap it up, is that the leadership has to know that Krishna consciousness is the basis of leadership. Krishna consciousness is it. So training in that is actually what leadership is supposed to be doing. And then a temple president is to be administrating that also. So he'll be putting more emphasis on that administration, but it's based on that. Well, the GBC will be putting more on the standards and education. You know, so that way there's a balance. And then the temple president, he creates whatever officers and needs and different things as big as his management as he's able to do. Then you have a proper balance. But it has to be in directing devotees in Krishna consciousness. And the standards have to be affected from there. Otherwise, as we see, there'll be an inconsistency and things won't work out very nicely. Yes?
What is the deciding factor for some jiva who is attached to detachment and at the same time attached to attachment?
He's attached to detachment and attached to attachment.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. We'll give you a verse from Chanakya. If you don't know whether to eat or not eat, don't eat. Okay? If you don't know whether to travel or not travel, don't travel. And if you don't know whether to get married or not get married, get married. Because someone who will remain a brahmachari knows they don't want to get married. So if there's even the think, should I get married or not, get married. Because for a Naistika Brahmachari, it's not even something he thinks about. Does that make sense? Okay, so then. Thank you very much. We are sorry if we've. What do you call it? If we said anything strong or that, but we're, because I, in my years of dealing with, you know, managers, administrators, they like things to be practical, down to earth. Therefore, sometimes we would have to use very direct examples or even use names, you know. But that was just to make it more clear for this environment. If this wasn't managers, then we wouldn't use such direct, you know, how you say, examples. Okay, sorry. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki
jai.
Jainata Gaura Premanandi.